You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Atamaria e te whānau e whakarongo ana koutou, ki te reo irirangi poho, you're on 95BFM. This is The Breakfast Show and we have got Native Bush, aka Pipiana, in the studio. Morena, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. I'm pretty good this morning.
It's a bit damp outside, eh?
It is a bit damp, but it felt really nice waking up this early, which I never do.
Well, we're very grateful really to you for coming in so early to have a chat to us about Deep Dive Festival, which is happening this Saturday, and you're going to be DJing, which is awesome to see, alongside a really stacked lineup. There's a whole bunch of really fantastic artists from Tamaki Makaurau and beyond as well, actually. There's some Wellington acts in there too. And it's just a really nice snapshot, I think, of what's going on in the scene at the moment. How are you feeling about this?
About Deep Dive Festival, you know, I feel really good about it. Always honoured to be on any lineup alongside my friends, you know, something that I feel represents, you know, like my community and extended communities as well. Kudos to Taylor. I think that kind of, like, you know, his mentality has trickled down into the lineup. It's quite genuine.
Yeah.
You know, the artists that he's chosen, and that reflects sort of his standpoint in the community.
Yeah.
And how much sort of, like, sort of how expanded his reach is. I mean, you know, he's so entrenched in these wide communities of just really different types of people and artists. And it's cool for that to all be brought together and to be a part of that.
Totally.
For sure. Yeah.
We can't stop talking about this, but it is kind of remarkable that we're able to go to gigs and play gigs as well. How does that feel for you as a DJ to be able to, I guess, be out there when lots of people, your peers overseas, aren't having that same privilege?
I mean, at times it can be pretty conflicting. You know, I'm really aware, even just conscious of posting and sharing things, you know, and literally having people from the States, friends from Melbourne, and just sort of, you know, across the seas, hitting me up and just being like, what the fuck, you know? And it is, it's such a contrast because, you know, there's certain parts of the world that are literally on fire and are just crumbling.
Yeah.
But I think that's the nature of sort of just anything and sort of any responsibility, is that you'll often at times feel conflicted about doing what you feel that you need to do and contributing in the ways that you can at the time. And in New Zealand, we really, you know, we can really acknowledge and look at it like some sort of privilege that we really do have this position of power and contribution where we can still, you know, create and curate and connect and share, you know, and even connect with people from all over the world and really, like, share on their behalf in a way as well, without speaking for them so much. Yeah, but really it's a form of solidarity in a sense if you treat it that way.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I really felt that at the second Black Lives Matter march, where you could see all these people who had the privilege of being able to be out there and not be afraid of being sick as well, and kind of be able to be bodies in the street and voices in solidarity with something massive happening overseas that has huge ramifications for our own country as well, and big echoes across the world. It is a sense of privilege, I guess, that we have got that ability to move around and be in spaces with each other that other people don't necessarily have at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's also really important to acknowledge that that's part of our healing, you know, and that's essentially what this entire sort of chaotic climate is about. I think personally is that we are moving towards this sort of phase or cycle of healing, and that takes a lot of courage, and that takes sort of saying like no and not being further oppressed. And, you know, a lot of the time what we're being asked or told to do are still are forms of oppression. You know, there's still a system that's trying to control you and tell you to do this and do this, and, you know, finding that fine line between safety and being respectful and being considerate of others, you know, and protecting yourself, but not necessarily just sort of rolling over and just doing and and just falling into that sort of like illusion of being consuming whatever you're told to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And social media is a huge part of the conversation for our generation, I guess, because we kind of have access to things that maybe our parents weren't able to see with such immediacy. Those conversations about, you know, interconnectedness of systems of racism and stuff around the world have always been there, but we get it on such an immediate level. You can see it as soon as it goes on Twitter. You can see it as soon as it hits Instagram. Have you sort of found that music communities you're tapped into in New Zealand and around the world have been on the pulse of that? What's it been like sort of witnessing that for you?
I mean, this is a conversation that my friends and I have a lot. You know, within my reality and my small circles, personally, I feel like I'm really exposed to a certain type of narrative. And sometimes when you step out of that bubble, social media and Twitter and all of these sort of like points of information and data just like flooding into your stream, and even those can be sort of tailored in a way where you're only seeing a certain narrative.
Yeah.
Like that's really normal
for
me to sort of, for there to be awareness and consciousness around those things. But I think in sort of terms of the wider lens of what I'm seeing coming from sort of like the masses of people, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. I think it's just coming down to awareness. You know, and that's something I try to be really conscious of is perspective and seeing sort of like all sides of the lens.
Yeah.
And not really just sort of committing yourself to just one viewpoint or one perspective. I think that can be really dangerous. And that I do think that, you know, the internet and social media can be really dangerous in that way.
Totally.
And that we can easily be force fed one specific viewpoint, you know, and a lot of it, it's just information. Sometimes it's just information and sometimes it's people's experiences.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to digest and take from people's experience and sort of fuse that with our own experiences and think for ourselves. And I think, I'm hoping, and I think that that's what a lot of people are really doing, and that's sort of spilling out and translating into art and conversations and ways of being, you know, and the communities, it's really coming to the forefront, those conversations and that openness.
I think that's a really nice observation as well. It's definitely a strange landscape to navigate, the old internet sort of sphere. But
yeah, it's so weird.
It's also like an amazing tool that we have access to that, you know, generations before us haven't necessarily. Mm. So that is, again, kind of a privilege in its own way too.
Yeah.
As like a music maker and someone who sort of like, I guess, curates parties in the sense that you're helping people have a good night, but that's a really important thing too. I think we forget the importance and all of the sort of like hecticness that's going on in the world of just being able to be in a space with people and have a good time and also feel safe and feel comfortable. As a DJ, how does that sort of like role for you feel? Is that something you think about often?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I think about. I think it's something that sort of it didn't come naturally. At first, DJing is like sort of you treat it like any art form where it, for some people, it can be this really indulgent thing, you know, and it definitely was for me. It was like, I just want something where I can play music and I don't have to care about anything else in the world, you know, and not take things so seriously. And it was really fun like that at the time. And it's almost like you come to this full circle where you become, it then shifts from being this thing where it's just sort of self-centered, which is nothing wrong with that, to being this really collective thing. Like, oh my God, I have to do, it's for the people, you know, am I giving enough? Am I using this in a way that's really collective and beyond myself, and is contributing to what other people need? And everyone needs fun, you know?
Yeah, hard.
Everyone needs to know joy, and that's really radical. It's a really radical thing as well. Yeah. I think that's something that's really important to acknowledge and something that I'm still learning.
Mm.
So joy is a really, really radical and revolutionary way of being, especially as Black, Indigenous, people of colour, queer, whatever minority or whatever you identify with. joy. Yeah, so, and then coming back around and finding the that the pendulum has to swing sort of back and and then find the sort of balance in between. So sometimes just by exuding your values, what you believe in, you know, it sort of spills out into the way that you facilitate, curate, and create and sort of like foster a community or a space, you know, or a connection that you have or an exchange that you have with a collective of people or even just one person on the dance floor, and that can spill out into your art forms.
Totally.
Even just walking down the street, I reckon it can spill out, you know?
Yeah. I think that's, joy, being radical. It's so true. It is so true. And I think it's going to be a very joyful night on Saturday, just by the looks of things. I'm just going to zoom through the list for anybody who is not sure what's going on. We've got Earth Tongue, Echo O's, Hans Puckett, Chris Knox, Dick Move, Leaping Tiger, Two Farben, Disciple Party. We've got Guardian Singles, Jasmine Mary, Roy Irwin, Green Grove, Orbi, Native Bush, Totems, I'm Amelia, and Babyface Killer. It's a stacked as lineup. I think it's going to be very joyful indeed. And what can people expect from your set, Pip?
A lot of fun. A lot of fun. I'm actually going to be going back to back with Babyface Killer, who's my girlfriend as well. We've started playing around and doing back to back stuff, and that's a whole new realm.
Awesome.
As well, you know, what you can create with another person, with other people, it's totally different to what you can just sort of channel yourself. So yeah, we'll be going back to back together, and really just feeding off the vibe, I guess. Yeah, it's that's the kind of way that I approach it now, instead of just being trying to like control things so much and just have this really set way of doing, or being like, okay, I have to play this sound, I have to do this.
This is when it's going to peak, and then this is where we're going to be.
It's never that, that's not fun.
No.
It's really not fun. Honestly, you can go into a situation and the whole landscape can change within 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I've seen it, I just saw it on the weekend. Roy came out and, you know, it was really quiet when I got in. I thought, okay, I'm going to be playing for the trees for this song. You're really spiritual.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the hazes were going off and I looked up and within 5 minutes it was just a whole hall of people.
Awesome.
And I was like, okay.
Different vibe.
Yeah, fluid. Got to be fluid with it.
Yeah, hard out. Well, I can't wait. I think it's going to be heaps of fun. If you've got a ticket, lucky you, because it has sold out, which is awesome. Mm. It's happening at Whammy Bar, Wine Cellar and Backroom on Saturday night. Thank you so much, Pipiana, for coming and chatting to us this morning. Native Bush. We're going to play Disciple Putty now, who is also on the lineup. This is The Boy Who Cried Woman. Thanks for coming in.
Kia ora.
You probably heard of me. I keep walking down your streets. I'm entering your dreams. Your eyes are open, but you're half asleep. You say you made a mistake, but your time is too late. And now you're trying to escape, but your payment's overdue in your case. Bit off more than you could chew. You had the full puzzle, but you only have clues. You think you know me, think you got my back. You think you know me, think you got my track. You think you know me, figured out my act. You think you know me, now you wanna turn back. You think you know me, think you're on the right track. You think you know me, think you're on the right track. You think you know me, think you're on the right track. But you're thinking that you're wise. You say you see through my disguise, but you're really looking back into your own two eyes. You say you're unaware, you say you're not scared, but
but your hair is standing straight. And now I'm knowing that you really sealed your own fate. There's no going back. You're on the wrong track. You think you got it right, but you've really got.
A 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.